At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. This is The Promised Land with me, Scott Saunders, talking after the closure of the summer transfer window for Manchester United and for all of Europe, most of Europe, all the Premier League anyway. And it was a busy day for Manchester United on incomings and outgoings. So what I'm going to do in this episode today is reflect on the day itself and reflect on the summer, Ineos's first summer in charge of transfers at Manchester United. And I think most of us, looking at this logically, can think that is a hell of a job that they've done. So I'm going to dig in to some of the details, dig into the amount of money that United have saved, the amount of money United have spent, because they've been very, very busy. And a lot of the things that we've looked at for years and criticized Man United for have seemingly been addressed, and it's a great sign of things to come. Obviously there's some transfers here which are a little bit risky, but I'm talking about Jadon Sancho joining Chelsea. So he has officially joined, well, actually, as I record this, not officially joined Chelsea. I'm doing this at 7:30 in the morning on Saturday. I wanted to wait until the details of that deal were officially confirmed, and we're nearly there, basically. I mean, everything is pretty much in place, barring the club announcements, which I'm sure will come on Saturday morning. But I'm doing this nice and early to reflect on it ahead of a busy weekend in the Premier League. United play Liverpool on Sunday. Obviously, I'll be back to reflect on that game after it happens. But what I wanted to do in this was just more look at the bigger picture and say that whatever happens in this game against Liverpool on Sunday, you should probably know and probably take some solace in the facts that United seem to know what they're doing, and they seem to be moving in a direction which is more positive than we've seen in previous years. So I think, look, this is going to take a while. This is going to take a long time. This is going to take lots of pain. You know, it's going to take more signings. The squad depth isn't proper. It's not exactly perfect. Ineos will need two or three of these transfer windows to really, really sink their teeth in. But this is a very, very encouraging start. So I'll dig into all of that. I won't look ahead to Liverpool too much, because obviously we know that it's Liverpool at Old Trafford. United need to win, really. And losing would pile a hell of a lot of pressure on Erik ten Hag. But what I do think this transfer window has done is give Erik ten Hag a lot more tools to play the way that he wants to play than he had last season and in the first season that he was in charge as well. So I wouldn't say the pressure is really, really on him, but he's definitely got a lot more. And maybe we should expect more of him. Maybe we should. So that's it's basically on Erik ten Hag now to start steering the ship around on the pitch, because I feel like Ineos, Ashworth, Jason Wilcox, Omar Berada have started steering the ship in the right direction off the pitch. So that is my thoughts on this. And I'll dig in to everything that happened yesterday and just a wider picture of the transfer window itself on today's show. Like I say, I'm Scott Saunders. You can follow me on social media at @_ScottSaunders on Instagram, TikTok, and X as well. Real big thanks to everyone who's followed me on Instagram over the past few days. I will start posting on there, but if you haven't got me on there already, please head on over there. The links are in the description of this show as well, whether you're listening on audio or YouTube. Apple and Spotify is where you can find the Promised Land and Man United podcast on audio and on YouTube as well. Just head on over there, hit the subscribe button, because I will be doing more and more shows as we get on with things. But obviously we've got the Liverpool game and then an international break, so it just seems like football's just started and now it's going to stop again for the first international break of the season. There's one in, I believe, October and in November as well, so we're in this stop start period of the season, which hopefully means that United can recover some of their injured players, because the injury issues that cropped up last season, they're not quite as bad yet, but obviously Mason Mount's injured and there's some other injuries as well in the squad which need healing, because United really need a full bill of health or close to it to really maximize what they want to do on the pitch. But look, please follow me on all those platforms, subscribe to the podcast, and I will get into things now. And I'll start with Jadon Sancho, because I spent most of deadline day thinking that this might happen, but like thinking, really? Are they going to do this? Are they actually going to do this? And look, I think we can all agree that Jadon Sancho has not worked at Manchester United the way that he conducted himself last year after Erik ten Hag said what he said, which I maintain to this day was not that bad. He said he didn't train as well as the other players in the squad. And that's why he wasn't in the squad against Arsenal, which is almost a year ago to the day. Obviously, we know what happened after that. Jadon Sancho goes online and says essentially that his manager is a liar and he's been training really well. And obviously, the big fallout happens and he doesn't play a competitive game for Manchester United ever since that moment. So, Sancho is... It's a problem that's had to be fixed. And I don't think anybody could really see, even after he returned to preseason training, I don't think anybody could really see that Sancho would end up being like a regular starter for United. He might play some minutes here and there, but it was always a case of when will United sell him? When will United offload him? Whether that's this summer or whether that's in January or next year, it seemed like Jadon Sancho was not going to stay at Man United. And I feel like, given all the replies that I've had on my social media over the last few days around Jadon Sancho, it feels like sentiment has been, and rightly, to be honest, it feels like sentiment has been, no, get rid. I've had enough. Don't disrespect the football club like that. And that's how I feel. It's a shame, obviously. But I think what this represents here is, as much as Jadon Sancho might have fallen out with the manager, he's gone against the football club as well. He has. And the fact that Jason Wilcox is in there, knowing that he's worked with Jadon Sancho at Manchester City in the past, and probably knows him as a kid, obviously, and knows what he's like, I think a lot of people may have thought, like, Jadon Sancho is so talented, he's really good on the ball, this kind of thing, that this new team coming in can maybe mend fences. But what's happened is, it seems like they've trusted the judgment of the manager here and strengthened his position. And what they have essentially declared here is that if you defy your manager, no matter when it was, you are also turning your back on the club as well. We all know that he's not changed his social media profile since he returned to the club, and that he's still posting about Borussia Dortmund and all this, who didn't actually go anywhere near him, by the way. So maybe they are familiar with his game. but Sancho made his bed, and I tweeted it yesterday. The fact that they are willing to let Jadon Sancho join a direct rival for a top four, top five place in Chelsea proves a couple of things. That A, there's actually not that much money coming out of leagues from outside of Europe, especially when Jadon Sancho's earning the wages that he is. Like, there were no takers. PSG were linked a bit, Dortmund were linked a bit, Juventus were linked, but none of them either felt it a worthwhile investment or they just couldn't do it. All of these teams just couldn't do it. So if Saudi Arabia might be an option for some, but he obviously didn't want that move. And, you know, I think United tried to ship him out to Saudi in January as well, but he rejected it. And what we're seeing now is Chelsea, like, honest, I've gone on record a number of times saying Chelsea are just run, like, I don't understand what they're doing, why they needed another winger who's a little bit flimsy and very, very talented, very technical, obviously. But, like, obviously there's lots of red flags there. Why they needed to do this deal is beyond me, but that's now their problem. And it seems like United are willing to take that risk. That's how much they're willing to see him go to another club in the Premier League and potentially succeed. And I think that's brave. But honestly, it's taken me some time to kind of get my head around the fact that they're doing this. But they've pushed it through. They've got an obligation to buy. I think Fabrizio Romano has just said that Chelsea have to finish 14th or higher to trigger the obligation in this deal. So that's barring a catastrophe of a season for Chelsea, which they've had a few of them in previous years. But they're not going to finish lower than 14th, surely. So that deal is going to happen. And United have just looked at this transfer window on the whole and have thought, we need to sort this out. We absolutely need to sort this out. We need to get big wages off and we need to start raising money because our PSR position is so on a knife edge that we need to create a little bit of space for us to be able to move forward with more flexibility in future transfer windows. Now, let me know what you think on the Sancho to Chelsea thing, because I know there are people who think Sancho is... Look, I think we can all agree that it's a real shame that it hasn't worked out, but the reasons for it not working out, I don't think are on United, to be honest. I think he's played under a few different managers and it's just not worked for him. Whether that's suitability to the Premier League or whether that's United's atmosphere, I don't know. But Jadon Sancho was, I think he scored 12 goals for United in 3 years. And he really had a good game, to be honest. And United have just thought, wherever we send him, he just has to go. And we have to clear the decks and we have to start again and we have to just take the risk. And let's just believe in what we are doing. And I think that's really kind of... This isn't a move where it reeks of desperation. This seems calculated. And it seems like Ineos have thought, wow, Chelsea are throwing money around like nobody's business. And they seem like they're the only ones who will put the kind of money up that we're looking for in order to offload him. And they thought, fine, you take him. He's your problem. And I think that's quite refreshing. Honestly, I've had 48 hours or so to think about this because I think we know that, or we've always known that this was maybe on the cards and maybe going to happen. Erik ten Hag said yesterday in his press conference that he expected Sancho to remain at United beyond the deadline. But, you know, it's out of his hands. I think he's made his mind pretty clear. He's put his cards on the table. In the first two games, he's not included Jadon Sancho in any squad, and he was prepared for him to go. And now he has. So, look, Chelsea have got a player there who is, whatever you think of him, he's talented. United spent two summers trying to sign him in the first place. Very talented, but obviously there's a lot of red flags there. And I think United have got rid of a player that could be a problematic character. You know, obviously Sancho forced his way out of Man City in the first place to go to Borussia Dortmund, believed in himself, and that decision obviously worked for him. But the fact that he's come to United and not been able to rise above the mess that United has been, and the fact that he was given 3 months off to go to a training camp or to go to a camp under Erik ten Hag, nurtured back into the team, came back and scored a goal against Leeds, and it was all smiles, and everyone thought, okay, maybe we're going to get the real Sancho now. What is the real Sancho? You know, he seemed to just tail off again shortly after that. And in any line of work, if you go online and you say your manager's a liar, like, what is going to happen? Whichever side you sit on, whether you think Jadon Sancho should have outlasted Erik ten Hag or whether you're on the manager's side. You cannot do that. You cannot do that. And I think that kind of behavior has not been tolerated by the manager or by people like Jason Wilcox now. And I don't know how he worked in this deal exactly, but Wilcox would have known him from his time at Manchester City and has still thought, nah, it's the right decision. Let's take this risk and let's let him join Chelsea. So 20 to 25 million obligation, depending on performances. We'll see how that happens and how that works. But United are getting that next summer regardless. If Sancho plays well for Chelsea this season, then maybe that'll look like a bargain to them. But they do have seven players who can play on those wings. So, and the funny thing is, I think Jadon Sancho's going to a team at the moment where their new manager has completely separated a number of players, eight or more players from first team football, has been working with other players, like namely Mikhailo Mudryk here, and has publicly said that he's not making the right decisions and he has a lot to learn from just four matches. And I think back to last year, and I think what Maresca's saying is way worse than anything Ten Hag said about Sancho in the first place. So Sancho's going to a place where he's got a new head coach who is probably more cutthroat than Ten Hag is. And I mean, look, fair play to him. He wanted a new challenge. I think he wanted the move. Chelsea fan as a boy. And I think it's just best for everyone that this is done. And obviously, United are going to live with the risk of Sancho playing against them one day and scoring a goal and Chelsea win the game. And then it's like, wow, United have been dunked on. United have been, they took the L here, to say what the kids say. They took the L. And look, that's just something that United and Ineos will have to live with. But I think the fact that they have just decided, no, like, we are not taking any of this. We are not taking any crap. Get out. For the deal that they've got as well, it just screams to me that culture's changed. And I think that's what we all wanted, honestly. That is what we all wanted. So Jadon Sancho's joined Chelsea on loan for the season with an obligation to buy 20 to 25 million pounds, depending on performances next summer. Chelsea have to finish 14th or higher to trigger the deal. And I think that's his wages off the bill. That's his wages covered, and like, fair play. It's taken me a little while to turn my head and be convinced that this is the right move, but the more I think about it, the more I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, I really rate how ballsy that is from Ineos and how much they believe in what they're doing. To let a player go to a direct competitor and say, look, if you go there, if you succeed, then fantastic. But we are better off without you. That's what it screams to me. And I think that's so encouraging, honestly. Obviously, let me know on what you think on this Jadon Sancho thing, because I know that there are people who look at how Sancho's played for Borussia Dortmund in the past and thought, this kid is so talented. And United spent 2 years trying to sign him and United let him down. I think Sancho let United down more. There's definitely a case of it being both, but very talented player, but there's obviously a lot of red flags. And I think that the culture that United are trying to build is more important here than the talent of one player. And I think that is absolutely the right principles to set moving forward in future transfer windows. So that's my thoughts on Jadon Sancho. I've had a night to sleep on it as well. I was going to record this towards the end of the window, but I think I wanted to leave it until I knew the conditions of the Sancho deal. And it turns out I was too tired about 11 o'clock last night to actually record something. So I thought I'd do this morning before I try and buy Oasis tickets this morning. So good luck to me for that. I'll let you know if I get them. But look, the Jadon Sancho deal is one deal that was confirmed on Friday night. Scott McTominay joins Napoli. Very different circumstances. Absolutely fantastic attitude from the lad. 22 years at Man United. it's a shame that it's come to this, that he's left. But at the same time, I think everybody can look at this and think it's a good deal for everyone, because as much as we like Scott McTominay, and as much as like it means so much that he's an academy player who has really had some great moments in United shirt, in United's final form, Scott McTominay is not going to start matches. He's 27 years old, and now he's going to a new league for a new challenge under a manager like Antonio Conte, who will probably use him, I want to say, in the right way. But look, it's a great opportunity. Napoli are a fantastic football club, amazing stadium, rich history, and it's a really, really good opportunity for Scott McTominay to go. And United released a video, like a four-minute video-ish, 4 or 5 minutes, looking back at McTominay's career with like contributions and interviews from Marcus Rashford, McTominay himself, Tom Heaton, Harry Maguire, Johnny Evans, Darren Fletcher. And it just showed, it was a nice reflection on how everybody feels about him. And it's a nice reflection on how everybody feels about the deal. I mean, it works for everyone. It really does. And obviously, United had to wait for the red tape and everything to be done in order to confirm that. The confirmation came late on Friday night. And obviously, Manuel Ugarte, who I haven't mentioned yet, was confirmed shortly after that. So I've done enough on Ugarte so far. You can go back and check out the last podcast if you like to hear my thoughts on how he's going to fit in, because I did that in the last episode. But it's good to see that Manuel Ugarte has been officially confirmed. He will not play against Liverpool on the weekend, obviously. But hopefully now you'll take some time to get fully up to speed, take a little bit of time to learn about how United want to play tactically and fit in as a ball-winning machine. Let's just hope. Let's just hope. And obviously there's some weaknesses which we know that he has, but hopefully he can improve those and fit really well into the team, because I feel like Ugarte, Lenny Yoro, Matthias De Ligt, Nusayr Mazraoui, and Joshua Zirkzee, who are the five first team arrivals that United have brought in over the summer, you can see exactly why United have bought all of them. You can exactly see their fits in the team. And how many times you've been able to say that over the last few years? It seems like a lot of the time United had just been signing players based on this great reputation that they have, or how famous they are, or, you know, this has been a tide change. This transfer window has been a tide change in how United do business and how they build their team. And I'll come out of it, I'll maybe decide on a rating for the whole window towards the end of the show. And it's not going to be a 10, is it? Because I think there's many more players that would have had to have gone, and more signings that would have had to be made for it to be a 10. But it's a very, very solid start. Very, very solid. And just to double back on McTominay, like really, really, and I think most people do wish Scott McTominay all the very best with Napoli, because it's a shame that it's come to this, but I think it's a necessary move for him, for United. And if Napoli are willing to take him and use him in the way that they want, hopefully he succeeds there. He's got Billy Gilmore to join him as well, international teammate. So maybe he'll settle in a little bit more, a little bit better. And he's also got former teammate Romelu Lukaku there as well. So are they former? Yes, they are former.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. at Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
The teammates, Romelu Lukaku as well, just joined Napoli in the last few days. So Sancho's joined Chelsea, McTominay's joined Napoli, Ugarte has finally been confirmed, and Sekou Kone was confirmed by Man United an hour before, hour and 30 minutes-ish before the signing of Ugarte was confirmed on deadline day, been signed, and he's starred in the under-17 World Cup recently. United have been following him for a while, £1 million-ish, and I think the plan here is for him to eventually start training with the first team. So look, I'm not going to come out and be an expert and claim I'm an expert on this lad, but that's encouraging in itself, because it seems like United are starting to utilize their scouting network and pick up players that they feel are talented enough to be able to integrate into their first team over the next few years. So really promising signs of things to come. But I think two other youth player deals that have been on verge of confirmation anyway, that's happened over the course of the summer. But there are five first team signings, and I feel like all five of those, you can exactly see why United have signed them. So that is really promising, and we'll see how they fit in. But I'll do in the week, maybe, because it's the international break coming up, maybe in the week I'll do a show looking ahead to what needs to happen in the future with United squad, who needs to leave, which positions need to be filled, and what needs to happen next. But obviously it's impossible. And I think Jim Ratcliffe has said as such in a public interview that this is going to take about 3 years, but United need a couple more of these summer transfer windows in order to properly move forward. But it's very, very encouraging that they have done all that they've done over the course of this summer, raised the money they've raised, saved the wages they've saved, and they've shown that they're no pushovers either in their first summer. So really, really encouraging. So all the players that have left, I've done the players that have arrived: Scott McTominay, Jadon Sancho, Mason Greenwood, Aaron Wan-Bissaka, Willy Kambwala, Hannibal, Facundo Pellistri, Alvaro Fernandez, Donny van de Beek, Rafa Varane, Anthony Martial, and Brandon Williams, Omari Forson, Will Fish, Charlie McNeil, Shola Shoretire. All of these players have left, and that's not even all of them. But all of those players are off the books, and just run through some points here now about like how important that is to do. So I've mentioned the priority positions have been filled, but what they have done well, what United and Ineos have done well this summer, is raise money through the sales of fringe players and players that they don't want or that don't fit into the team. And what they have done, United have raised over 100 million euros in sales, and that's in transfer fees alone. The last time they crossed 100 million euros in sales was the first summer of Louis van Gaal in 2014. The last time they raised more money than they've raised this summer was when Cristiano Ronaldo was sold to Real Madrid in 2009. So that shows you just how efficient and how much they have done this summer. A lot of those players that have left the club, McTominay, Greenwood, Kambwala, Hannibal, Alvaro Fernandez, those players and their transfer fees, I believe they're all homegrown players. I think Alvaro would have qualified as well. All of those players are pure profit, as you like to say. That's the in thing nowadays. Whatever you feel about that rule, it does help your PSR position. So United were on the verge of, they had to be very careful, especially through the last financial year, in order to not breach any PSR rules and to avoid fines or like problems down the line. But what they've done since the 1st of July is get busy. They really have. And fair play to them. So I just named all those players there who've left the club. Important, and I'll touch back on what I mentioned earlier about problem players, really. Like Jadon Sancho was one of them. Mason Greenwood, for very, very different reasons, was another. They have offloaded both of them, and now those players are no longer like associated with Man United. Sancho, albeit temporarily on loan, but that is going to be that'll become an obligation down the line. So we've kind of hit a cultural reset throughout the transfer window, and there's still definitely more to do, but this is such an encouraging step one in a longer journey. So encouraging. United have definitely proved in one summer that they're much more capable in the transfer market of shifting players for money and holding out for prices that they want on both buying and selling players. And I think that the thing I tweeted this yesterday on deadline day, that it's nice to kind of go into deadline day knowing that all of United's business is done. Obviously, Ugarte wasn't announced until 9:30 in the night, but everybody knew that was done. It was just a case of when he'd be announced. United's deadline day was centering around shifting players out for prices that they were happy with. Not shifting, panicking, or trying to bring in players before the deadline that would fix little holes in their squad. All that was done previously. It screams of more cohesion. It screams of more sense, in a sense. And they got all of the signings, barring Ugarte, done weeks ago. And obviously we know that the holdup on Ugarte really was around the... They had to see that McTominay was officially done before they went and triggered or went and did the deal for Ugarte, because obviously United are still in that position of being, or were in this window still on that, in the position of being like one in, one out, had to be very careful. So maybe that was a reason for the delay as well. But, you know, no panic yesterday. No panic. And think of how many deadline days we've had where things have been panicky over the last few years. I remember when I was in the editorial team for 90 Minutes a few years ago, and I waited up for Man United to sign Radamel Falcao, which happened at like 2 a.m. Danny Welbeck joined Arsenal on the same day. And he's come back to haunt United so many times since. But Falcao was the classic case of a big name signing that United wanted just to make a statement. He came in, he scored against Everton. I was there for that one. And just coming off the back of a big injury, though. And like, obviously, he was never, ever the same player as he was when he was at Porto and Atletico Madrid. But United thought, this is a big name, and we're going to try and get him over the line. And they ended up doing it with a deal sheet after the transfer deadline. I remember staying up till like late at night, early in the morning, for that one to go through. And that reeked of desperation. That was the old guard. That was the old people in charge of transfers. Much more calm this year. So much more calm. And how much more confident do you feel now that United are going in the right direction after that 2-month window on the whole, or whatever, however long it was, 2 months? How much more confident do you feel, even compared to last summer, where United were trying to sign Mason Mount, who's been perma-injured since they signed him early, and, you know, the question was, have they overpaid for him at the time? How many signings do you look at this year and think, yeah, United have overpaid? Maybe Yoro, perhaps? But obviously they're taking a calculated risk there, and they feel like this kid is going to be worth the money over the next few years. So, you know, the value of the deals that they've done over the course of the last few weeks, you can't really look at it and think United have done bad business. I don't think. And maybe there'll be some detractors, obviously, but it's been really good. Really, really good. So I don't want to be like coming across as a fanboy or whatever, but I just wanted to kind of say this is such an encouraging start. I feel like no matter what happens on the pitch tomorrow against Liverpool, now I don't know when you're going to listen to this. I think this episode will be good for a few days and a couple of weeks, to be honest. Albeit, you know, I'm recording this before the Liverpool game and I don't know how it goes. United could get smashed 3-0 at home. And then the whole international break window is Erik ten Hag. Will he get sacked? Will he get sacked? And I hope to God that doesn't happen, but because I can't be bothered with it. But regardless of that result against Liverpool and regardless of the loss to Brighton, the most important thing here is that Manchester United are moving forward in the right direction off the pitch for the first time in 11 years. Probably longer, because even when I remember thinking in the summer of 2009 when Ronaldo was sold to Madrid, fantastic. So like in terms, like it was a world record fee. I don't think anybody really wanted him to go, but he wanted to go. Obviously, United had given him a promise that he could leave next year, and he joined Real Madrid for 80 million quid, I think it was at the time. World record fee, and we know what Ronaldo went on to become. Incredible, but that's what he wanted. That summer, all we had to really get excited about after that was Michael Owen. Perma-injured Michael Owen, who'd played for Liverpool on a free transfer, past his best. Michael Owen arrived, Gabby Obertan arrived, I think, and Antonio Valencia. I'm not disputing Valencia's legacy, but he's very, very much a downgrade on Cristiano Ronaldo, let's just say that. And Alex Ferguson would say around that time that there wasn't much value in the market. There was no value in the market. And that was mainly because, probably, of the Glazer ownership. And I think I remember thinking back then, like, that's a weird window. It really is. You know, I've got absolutely so much weaker. So much weaker. After reaching the Champions League final, winning the league, they won the Champions League the year before that as well. And obviously the best player in the world leaves at the time. And they replace him with who they replaced him with. And I thought, that is not encouraging. And then the squad seemed to just get a little bit worse each year. Obviously, they had some big wins, like Robin van Persie joining from Arsenal in 2012, that kind of thing. But, you know, even back to that point, I think United haven't really acted properly. They tried to sniff out like good value deals and short-term deals for most windows since. And this summer just felt different. To me, anyway. Let me know if you think that it is different. Let me know how different you think it is. And let me know what you how you feel for the season ahead and for the years ahead. Because I'll say it again. This is step one. There's plenty of players that still need to leave. And it was impossible for Ineos to do this all in one summer. There's a wage structural problem, which is not going to be fixed really until all of the contracts that were given out, Casemiro's contract, I would even look at Marcus Rashford's contract and think that ceiling is probably too high. The highest earners are earning too much. And until those contracts are corrected, or until the players start playing towards at levels higher to justify the values of those contracts, those contracts are going to be problems. And United are probably not going to properly move past this era of mismanagement until those contracts are expired or off the books. So we will see. It's a long road ahead, but this is such an encouraging step one. Like I say, most lucrative window in sales since 2009. And that's not including any loan fee for Jadon Sancho either, which we haven't got clarification on, but even if Chelsea are covering his wages for the year, then that's fantastic. And that's not even including the wages that United have saved. So over £70 million a year, according to calculations. Over £70 million a year off the wage bill, added to the €100 million-ish in transfer fees that they've raised. Obviously, this is not talking about the expenditure on new signings and new wages, that kind of thing. But what they've done in one summer is simultaneously strengthen the first team squad and simultaneously better their position in PSR for future transfer windows and get rid of a hell of a lot of deadwood that they couldn't shift for years and years and years. Really encouraging. But they do need two more of these summers, really. At a minimum, I would say. Two more of these summers to be fully out of the woods. And that is conditional on the players that they're signing now being a success. So that's on Erik ten Hag. That's on the culture. That's on the atmosphere. All of these things need to work properly in order for United to move forward. But it's been a really, really encouraging transfer window for the new team, for Omar Berada, for Dan Ashworth, for Jason Wilcox, Christopher Vivell. And I'm sure we'll see Christopher Vivell's, net. He's only down for a year, I think, but we'll see whether that gets extended. I'm sure what we will see in future is more buys like Sekou Kone, like Obi Martin, like these players. The immediate priority was to strengthen the first team here, but what United have done as well is backfill that with some encouraging youngsters, and I would expect United to continue in that vein. They'll look at the problems that crop up this season in the first team. They'll look at players who underperform, and maybe that'll dictate who leaves next summer. There's players like Casemiro, Victor Lindelof, Harry Maguire, who you probably think it's their last year, whether they're out of contract or whether they're sold. And they will be moved on, but that's for another time. Christian Eriksen's another one. And look, like I say, I'll do another episode in the coming days to look at the plans for the future, and then we'll see what happens. But there's incredible amounts of work that's been done. Incredible amounts. And I think most United fans can be really happy with what's been done. But I will condition what I just said with this. Do not expect everything to immediately show up on the pitch. We can definitely expect Erik ten Hag to have a better season than last season. If he doesn't, if we have the same problems as we had last season, then he won't be in a job, as simple as that. But at the same time, United aren't going to go competing for the Premier League title this year. Like, they should be. The standards that United are held to should be that they compete for the Premier League title every year, but United is still a long way from that. Even look at Arsenal, right? They did kind of what United are doing now 3-4 years ago. They started cancelling contracts with big-name players. They started correcting their wage bill and signing players of the right age. Do you remember when Martin Odegaard was at Real Madrid? He joined them at like 15 or something, and was regarded as one of the best young players in the world, had a few loan spells here and there, and Real Madrid thought, nah, you're not good enough for us, and they sold him. Now he's one of the best players in the Premier League. You know, 30 million quid-ish, I think Arsenal paid for him at the time, and now he's one of the best players in the Premier League. But you need to give time to these players that United have signed in order to settle in and to be fully functional in the system, for the tactics to be properly implemented, for players to be used to what they're doing, used to certain situations on the pitch. And hopefully in the next few weeks and months, we will start to see a better Manchester United on the pitch. But that's like, if, for example, if United miss out on the top four by a point, how are you going to feel? Personally, what I want to see out of this season is just progress on the pitch. The Europa League draw was done yesterday. No Champions League teams are going to drop into that competition. So United should really be targeting that to continue the winning a trophy each year under Ten Hag. I would like to see that happen, obviously. But I want to see progress on the pitch this year. And if we get that and and United don't end up winning a trophy, but we feel like they're going in the right direction, Erik ten Hag's got another 2 years. Let's see how it goes. But please, and this is just how I look at things. If you listen to this pod, maybe you know that I try not to panic and overreact and this kind of thing. If United don't beat Liverpool tomorrow or lose 1-0 to Liverpool, look, there's a bigger picture than just tomorrow. There's a bigger picture than just the next few weeks and months. And there's a bigger picture than this season. We want United to be competing for titles every year. in the next few years. If they can do out this year, then fantastic. But nobody should be expecting that they do that. I'd like to see improvement on the pitch. I'd like to see a tactical identity come up. I'd like to see all the holes that were recognized last season, I think, have been fixed, depending on injuries. So we should see a better Man United on the pitch, more tactical identity, hopefully. And I think we've seen that a little bit in the first two games, but that's going to take time. And I just want to see progress being made. And I think we should expect that at Erik ten Hag, but don't expect the world currently. Just don't expect the world. That's what I would say. And just reflect on this being step one and a longer journey to correct the path that Man United are on, because they've been out at sea for years, honestly. I think the saddest thing about everything over the past few years has been that you don't see any end to this. It seemed like they were just drifting away and just becoming one of the pack, whereas now United now have a new ownership team, new people in the right places, and they've pretty much declared, we want to bring United back to the top. The Glazers never, ever said that. Never. Ed Woodward's famous quote, not verbatim, Man United don't need to win titles to generate the amount of revenue that we feel is necessary. I've absolutely butchered that quote, but it'll always stick with me. The sentiment of what that meant when he said it on, I think it was a conference call a few years ago, summed up everything about United under the Glazers. There's a different attitude in place. There's different people with a different attitude. And now let's start seeing if United can start moving forward. But don't expect the world tomorrow. Do not expect everything to be fixed straight away. And be patient, because it's a virtue. And trust in the journey that Ineos are going and these lot are taking United now. Because I feel like this summer has been very, very encouraging from that perspective. But I'll wrap up the 45-ish minutes of me talking about the transfer window. Jadon Sancho has joined Chelsea. Manuel Ugarte has signed. McTominay's joined Napoli as well. Really encouraging transfer window. But let me know how you feel about it. Let me know how brave you think United are being with letting Jadon Sancho join Chelsea. Let me know your hopes for the season ahead. Should we expect more than I've just said? Let me know as well, and get in touch with me on social media at @_ScottSaunders on X, TikTok, and Instagram. Please drop me a follow on Instagram if you haven't already. That would be much appreciated. And subscribe to the podcast. It is the Promised Land of Man United podcast on Apple and Spotify for audio, and on YouTube as well. Give us a subscribe button on there and like the stream as well. I never actually say to do that, because it'll help reach more people. And look, I'll be back after the Liverpool game. Let's, fingers crossed, United can get a positive result, but we will see. And if they don't win, honestly, don't melt down. I'll try not to do the same either, but I'll try not to melt down either. But there's a bigger picture at play here. There's a longer journey to go on than just tomorrow and just the next few weeks. So just look at the window that they've done. Look at all the business that they've done. Look at the outgoings, look at the incomings, and think, right, we're moving in the right direction finally. And that would be the big thing that I just want to stress in this podcast. So let's see how it goes against Liverpool tomorrow. I'll be back soon to reflect on it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching, and see you next time.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.